Играется.
Today's Amud is Yuma Samaches Amud Beis. We're holding seven lines from the top on Samaches Amud Beis, the last word of the line. So says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa. So we mentioned in the Mishnah that the people who were in charge of being Sairif, the parent, the Sairif Yom Kippur, so they had a din that they became Tame. It's Machoikis exactly when the Tumah kicks in, but Lemaisa, they all became Tame. According to Rab Shimon, the Tumah only kicks in once they were actually burnt the Raiv of the parent, the Sawyer. So says the Braisa, Rashi points out that this Braisa seems to be going within this sheet of Rab Shimon, that the Tumah only kicks in by the Sreifa. So says the Braisa, the Hasairif, it says that the Sairif becomes Tame. This is regarding the parent, the Sairif Yom Kippur. Hasairif mitame begadim, v'loi hamathis ha'sa'ar. It's only the Sairif, only the people that actually take part in the actual Gufa Sreifa, they become Tame. However, v'loi hamathis ha'sa'ar, one who just lights the fire, v'loi hamisadar ha'samaracha, and not someone who just sets up the wood, to eventually get to burn the parent, the Sair. Those that just light the fire, or those that set up the wood, they don't become Tame. It's only those involved with actually burning the guf of the animal. V'ezehu ha'sairif, so what's included in the sairif? Z'hamisayeya b'shas reifa, those that assist, and they help out during the sreifa. Someone who, let's say, flips the meat, someone who adds wood while it's already burning, etc. People that take place in the actual Maisis Reifa. Those are the people that have this Dintoma. I might think that even after the par and the sawyer become ashes, still someone who flips things and adds wood or takes part of it, he might also have a duntomus begadim, meaning that him and his clothing that he's wearing become tamei. The Torah says, "No, v'haserif aysam." Only someone who burns the actual animals. Aysam mitam begadim, only one who's burning the actual animals, they have a din. Toma, v'loi mishenasu efer mitam begadim. But once it becomes efer, so that's not already considered aysam, that's not the animals anymore, it's just the ashes, so then there's no din toma. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Aymer, hapar mitame, but nite chabasar ine mitame. Yeah, a different drasha, that it's only the par, those that burn the par, that they have a din toma, but once the par loses its form, so then ine mitam begadim. So then, those that take place and that take part in this reifa, once the par already loses its form, they don't have a din toma. So my benayu, what's the difference between the Tanakama's drasha and Reb Lezer and Reb Shimon's drasha? So says the Gemara, it could be nayu deshav yecharucha. If let's say that it becomes like char, but it's not mamish ash. So according to the Tanakama, since it's not ash, even though it's very charred and loses its form, still someone assists this reifa at that point, he'll become tame. As opposed to lefi Reb Lezer Reb Shimon, since it's already ash, since it's already charred and already lost its form, even though it's not ash, so then it's already excluded from the din tomo because it says hapar. So that will be the nafkamina between the Tanakamo and Rabbi Lazar Reb Shimon. So now says the Mishnah, last Mishnah in the Perek. Amru lai l'kayin gadol. So now they say to the kayin gadol that higia sayer l'midbar. They tell him, you should know that the sayer l'azazel, it reached the midbar, it got to the cliff, it got to azazel. So now why are they telling him this? So our Mishnah is not going to tell us, but we'll see in the beginning of the next Perek, the following Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that it's only at this point, once the sayer gets to the midbar, so that's when the kayin gadol can now continue on with the Aveda, and he goes, we'll see that he's going to go into the Ezra's Nashim, and over there in the Ezra's Nashim, there's going to be Kriyas HaTorah. That we'll see in the following Mishnah. But so they tell him, though, that only happens, though, after the Sayer gets to the Midbar. So it's interesting, because it comes out that there's a lot of unaccounted time mentioned in between the lines over here. Because if you think about it, the last thing that the Kohen Gadol does is he hands over the Sayer to the Ish Iti, and then all he has to do is then just open up the Par and the Sayer, take out the Emurim, and that's it. And then he gives it the Par and the Sayer to those that take it out to burn them. So how long does that take already? I don't know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, how long could that take already? In the meantime, so what's happening? He handed over the Sayer L'Azazel to the Ish Iti, and the Ish Iti is going to take now this Sayer to the Midbar. Now the Midbar, we said before, is 12 mil away, which we said is at least 7 miles. That could take, unless he's running a marathon, that could take probably at least two hours to get there. So, and the Mishnah now is telling us that the next part of the Avaida only starts once the Sayer gets there. So that means there's this gap of 2 hours of time, let's say, of 12 mil of time that that it's unaccounted for, that we don't really know what the Kohen Gadol is doing. I mean, he has to take, like we said, he opens up the Paran Nesayer, but that L'chayr is not filling up that entire time. So the Tosfos Yontif says that actually what he does is we bring the Kohen Gadol a chair and he has a little break. We bring him a chair, he can't sit in the Azara, but we bring him a chair into the Ezra's Nashim, and Ezra's Nashim it's mutter to sit. We'll see later in the Gemara. And so we bring him a chair and he sits down in the Ezra's Nashim, and that's where he takes his break. Maybe he learns a little, who knows, but that's where he gets to at least sit down and relax a little bit. Interesting, the Briska Rav actually, though, in the back of Chedushei Grizel Rambam, on page Ein Zayin, so over there, he writes, he brings a note that there's a din that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to leave the Azara until the Sayer gets to the Midbar. So he can't sit down and relax on a chair in the Ezra's Nashim. He actually has to stay in the Azara. So it comes out, he has a lot of time over there that he has to stand up. So a tremendous chul shod the Kohen Gadol, but that's how the Briska Rav learns, that there's a din that he can't leave the Azar, Ayin Sham. But Al Kapanim, the Tezyantiv says, I know that we bring him a chair, and he sits down in the Ezra's Nashim while he's waiting for us to give him the message that the Ish Iti reached the Midbar, that the Sire got to the Midbar. Al Kapanim says the Mishnah now, that Amru Leila Kain Gadol Higiya Sire La Midbar. So they tell him now that now you should know that the Sire got to the Midbar. So now before we say Vaiter now what he does, says the Mishnah, Uminayin Hayu Yaidin. Now these people that informed the Kohen Gadol, so how did they know? How do they know that the Sire got to the Midbar? Minayin Hayu Yaidin Shegiya Sire La Midbar. How do they know that? So explains the Mishnah, because their Kais Hayu Aisin, they set up watchmen, they had a whole line of watchmen going from Yerushalayim to the Midbar, Umanifin Vesudarin, and they used to wave flags, the one all the way by the Midbar, as soon as he saw that the Sayer got to the Midbar, so he would wave his flag, and then the next one over, a whole assembly line leading back to Yerushalayim to inform them that the Sayer got to the Midbar. And then V'yoydin Shaygiyah, Sayer la Midbar, and that's how they would know. So that's how the Tanakhama says that that's how they knew. However, Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says that no, V'alay Simen Gadol Hayolahem, they're much different Simen. Because what was the simen? Because Yerushalayim vad Beis Chidudoi. How far was Yerushalayim from Beis Chidudoi? Now Beis Chidudoi, we'll see more in the Gemara, but that's the beginning of the Midbar. We'll see that Shitas Rabbi Yehuda is that the Kohen Gadol didn't have to wait until the Sayer got all the way to the Tzuk, to the cliff, to Azazel. All he had to do was wait until the Sayer got to the beginning of the Midbar. And that place was called Beis Chidudoi. So now says Rabbi Yehuda, how far is Yerushalayim from Beis Chidudoi? How far did they have to wait? Shlisha Milan, it was only 3 mil, right? Even though it was 12 mil to the Tzuk, or according to Rabbi Yehuda, 10 mil. But Rabbi Yehuda says that he only had to wait 3 mil. He only had to wait until the Sayer got to Beis Chidudoi. So now, how are you going to know when the Sayer gets to Beis Chidudoi, which is 3 mil away? Very simple. Holchen mil. So someone will walk a mil, like we said before, that anyways, the Yakira Yerushalayim used to escort the Ishiti. So one of them would go the mil to the next Sukkah over, which was a mil away, and then the Chayzrin mil, and he would go back a mil. So now he already knows that he went 2 mil. So presumably the Ish-Iti also now is already at the 2 mil landmark. And then Vishayin, Kedei Mil. And then he would wait about 18 minutes, the shear of a mil. V'yoydin Shegiya Sayer LaMidbar. And then he would know that the Sayer got to the Midbar. So the passage is that he would go a mil, come back a mil, and then wait a mil afterwards. But I saw actually the Shiari Karban on the Yerushalmi, on our Mishnah. So he says that no, he would actually wait a mil by the first Sukkah. So really the waiting a mil was in between. He would go a mil to the first Sukkah, and then he waited a mil. Now it was very simple. How did he know to wait a mil? How did he know how long to wait? He would see the next group of Yakira Yerushalayim going to the next sukkah. So as soon as he saw the Yakira Yerushalayim reaching the next sukkah, about a mil away, so then he would know that, oh, he waited the shear of a mil, and now he would go back, his mil back to the Beis HaMikdash, and that's how he knew. He waited the time of 3 mil, so then they knew already that the Sayer got to Beis Chidudoi, which is the beginning of the Midbar, and now the Kohen Gadol could resume the Avodah. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Rabbi Shmuel says a different Shita. Rabbi Shmuel Aymer, V'alei Simen Echad Hayol, Simen Acher Hayol Lehem. There was a different Simen, a very simple one. Lashon Shel Zehiris Hayakashra Pischa Shel Heichal. We know that they had a red string that they tied by the Pesach of the Heichal, Ukeshegiyah Sayer La Midbar, when the Sayer would get to the Midbar, Hayol Lashon Malbin. So then it turned white. Shenemer Em Yukachat Ta'echam Kashanim Kashel Galbinu, like we've had before, that the red string would turn white. So Rabbi Shmuel seems to have really the most Pashat Eitzah. Everyone else is like relying on things. The Tanakhama is relying on people to wave flags. That means you also have to trust them. them that they're telling the truth. You have to make sure that they actually do this whole system. Rabbi Yehuda's also relying on very rough numbers. You travel a mil, wait a mil, come back a mil. I mean, maybe he stopped for a moment to get a drink. Okay, he never actually took the drink, but maybe he thought about it for a few minutes, and maybe really it was a little bit longer. Rabbi Shmuel has the most simple etza. You wait until the red string turns white. So really the kasha is why does the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda not say like Rabbi Shmuel? So the Mefarshim say different terutz and why they don't say like Rabbi Shmuel. The Yontif says, most simple terutz probably, is because this whole idea that there was a red string tied on the Heichal was only in a certain Tekufa. So Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama might be talking about the time period afterwards where they already made the Takana that they're going to tie half the string to the rack and half the string to the Sawyer, like we've had previously. So it could be in a Chanami, at the Bezman that they used to tie the string in the Heichal, so the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda were masking that that's the way it was done. But they're talking about it, how to do it in the time period when it was after the takana to tie half the string to the rack and half the string to the sawyer. That's probably the most simple teretz. The Tferes Yisrael on the Mishnah says a different teretz. He says because it's not that it automatically always turned white. It was in a good year when Klai Yisrael was deserving, so it turned white. But what about in a year where it doesn't turn white? So now you just lost the simen. So Eliashiv and Ha'ara says it must be Rabbi Shmuel also must have had some sort of other simen. But that could be why Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama didn't want to say this simon because it doesn't work every year. Rav Liashiv himself says a different teretz, because like we've had before, that sometimes it would turn white early. We said that if the Ishiti Dafka didn't tie the whole string to the rack, because maybe it would turn white, and then he would forget to push down the Sar L'Azazo. So you see, sometimes it turned white early, so here too also, maybe you should be Chayshesh, that maybe it turned white early, and that's why the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda don't say the Rabbi Yishmael, but Al-Kabonim, it's a three-way machlekes. And now the Gemara is going to focus on Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda said that the simon is that someone would travel a mil and then come back a mil and wait a mil. And that's how you know that the shliach got to Beis Chidudai. So Amar Abaye says the Gemara, Shma Mina, you see from this Mishnah, you see from Rabbi Yehuda, that Beis Chidudai b'midbar kaima, that Beis Chidudai was the bin, the starting point of the midbar, v'hakamash malon, dekasav Rabbi Yehuda, it must be Rabbi Yehuda holds, that kevan shegia sayer la midbar, nasis mitzvasoi, that as soon as the sayer gets to the midbar, it's already considered that it's nasis mitzvasoi, and now the Kohen Gadol can continue on with the avodah. Meaning that you don't have to wait until the sayer gets all the way to the tzuk. That meaning l'chayr l'fid chachamim. The pshat is that no, you have to wait until the kain gadol, until the ishiti gets to the tzuk. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have to wait that long. All you have to wait is 3 mil. All you have to wait until he gets to the midbar, to the beginning of the midbar, and that's why he says the etz that he says hajan alach shnei siiri. So now says the Mishnah, we'll start the seventh parak now. Balo l'kayin gadol, says the Mishnah, balo l'kayin gadol likreis. So now, like we mentioned, like we alluded to before, they tell the kayin gadol that the sire got to the midbar, and now the kayin gadol goes to read from the Torah. Where does he go? So we'll see in the Gemara that he goes to the Ezra's Nashim. He goes to the Ezra's Nashim, and he's going to be kriyas haTorah. We'll see soon in a moment that he's going to read from the various parashas in the Torah that talk about Yom Kippur. Now, why is he doing this? Why is he reading from the Torah? So the Tos Yeshanim and the Tos Rash over here, they explain that this Kriyas HaTorah is really like a declaration that telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kilu that we've completed the Seder HaYoyim, we're going to read it, we're going to declare that this is what we've done, and it's a tefillah that Hashem Shetaka accept our Avodah and grant Kapara. That's how they're Masber, that's the Tachlis of this Kriyas HaTorah. From Rashi on the Gemara, on the Mishnah, it seems that this Kriya is a Kriya Midaraisa. He says it's learned out from the Miluim, it's Mashmat's even Daraisa. However, other Rishonim, the Meiri over here, the Taisis Yontif in Saita, and Perek Zayin, Mishnah Ches, they say lehadida know that this kriya is midrabanan. I saw this last MS ask, or the Shagas Aryeh asked that how could you say it's a the Firashi? How could you say it's a kriya daraisa? We know only Parsha Zohar is the only kriya daraisa that we have. So how could this be daraisa? So he says that this kriya satira that's happening now with the Kohen Gadol is fundamentally different than all other kriya satira of the year. When we say that Kriyas HaTorah only of Parshas Zachar is Daraisa, that's talking about Kriyas HaTorah that's a Chayv as a Tzibur, that it's a Chayv on the Tzibur to lane from the Torah. So one person reads from it, but it's a Chayv on the Tzibur. But this Mishnah, this Kriya that we're going to discuss now with the Kohen Gadol, this is not a Chayv as a Tzibur. No one has to be there. This is a Chayv on the Kohen Gadol himself. That this is his own personal Kriya, and so Taka could be it's Daraisa, but this is not really part of the same world of regular Kriyas HaTorahs. So either way, way, it says the Mishnah Bavla Kain Gadol Likreis. The Kain Gadol goes now to read from the Torah. Imratza Likreis Big Day Boots Kaire. If he wants to read wearing the Big Day Boots, meaning wearing the Big Day Lavan that he's already wearing, really, so then he could do that. If he wants to stay in his Big Day Kain Gadol and his Big Day Kahuna, the Big Day Boots, he's allowed to do that. Vim Lav, and if he doesn't want to, so then Kaire Bitzlis Lavan Mishaloi. So then he could wear his own white clothing if he so chooses. He could wear whatever he could wear. He could put on his own clothing, if that's what he wants to do. The Rambam explains the Pirush HaMishnayos, because it's not an Avaida. This Kriya is not really part of the Avaida. It's a Chayv on him, but it's not an Avaida. And therefore, he could wear his own personal clothing. The Meiri points out that Lav Dafkid even has to be white. It just happens to be that the Meiri brings that the Minag is to wear white clothing on Yom Kippur. Chashiva people wear white clothing on Yom Kippur, so that's why it says white. But Lav Dafkid has to be white. That's just standard. So the standard is to wear white. So that's what the Mishnah means to say, that if he wants to, he can wear his regular white, mundane Yom Kippur clothing. Says the Mishnah Vayter, Chazan HaKnesses Noitel Sefer Torah. The Chazan HaKnesses, the caretaker of the shul, there was a shul on Har HaBayis, so he would take the Sefer Torah, V'noisno L'Reish HaKnesses, and he would give it to the Gabbai of the shul. So the one who took care of making sure the shul was all clean and set up and everything, he would give it to the Gabbai. The Gabbai was the one who chose, who would get the Aliyahs, who would daven for the Amud. So the caretaker would give it to the Gabbai. V'Reish HaKnesses Noitel. And then this Reish HaKnesses, this Gabbai, would hand it over to the Skan, the backup Kohen Gadol. The Skan, nice and the Kohen Gadol. And then the Skan would then hand over the Sefer Torah to the Kohen Gadol. This we'll see in the Gemara more about why they did this. The Kohen Gadol, Aymeru Makabal. And then the Kohen Gadol would stand up and receive the Torah, which is very interesting. It seems like he was sitting until now. L'chaira, as soon as the Sefer Torah comes into the Ezra's Nashim, so he should have to already stand up for it. So why did he only stand up right when he was receiving it? So it could be we'll get a chance to talk about that when we learn the Gemara. But not just another Nakuda, they talk about which Sefer Torah is this? Where did the Sefer Torah come from? So the Rashi and Baba Basra on Yadal Namabez near the top seems to say that this Sefer Torah was the Sefer Torah that was kept in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim by the Aron Kodesh, there was a Sefer Torah. So Rashi and Baba Basra says that Sefer Torah was used by the Kohen Gadol to read on Yom Kippur. So it comes out that this Sefer Torah came from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That was very interesting, because we've had, the Mishnah has told us about the whole Seder Avodah, never once was it mentioned someone taking out the Sefer Torah from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So when exactly did this happen? So the Rav Yah has a tshuva about it. The Rav Yah in Simen Tuf Kuf Tzadi Aleph, he writes that it could be that when the Kohen Gadol went in to perform the Avodah HaKatayres, so he came out, he left in the Kaf in the Machta, it could be he came out with the Sefer Torah. The Mishnah never said it, but if you Rashi, that's what comes out. Maybe he came out with the Sefer Torah, or maybe he went in an additional time afterwards. We said, like we were saying before, what was he doing this whole time, waiting for the Sayer? Maybe at some point he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and took out the Sefer Torah. But the Maaseh, the Rav Yah says that from Rashi and our Gemara, you see that not like that. The Rashi seems to describe Rashi by Beis HaKnesses. Rashi says it's referring to the Beis HaKnesses that was on Har HaBayis. So Rashi seems to be saying that this Sefer Torah came from the shul that was on Har HaBayis. On Har HaBayis there was a shul, and so others learn the Meiri and Taisus and Baba Basra say this Lahedya that the Sefer Torah of Yom Kippur came from the shul that was on Har HaBayis. That's where the Sefer Torah came from. Why did they have a shul there? So the Sfas Emes discusses that over here. Why was there a shul on Har HaBayis? You think about it. You have the Beis HaMikdash right there. You're going to go to another shul outside the Azara. You could daven in the Azara. Why would you go to a shul that's outside the Azara to go daven when you could just daven in the Azara? So the Sfas Emes explains, because you can't sit in the Azara. People like to sit when they daven. So therefore, they had a shul that was on Har HaBayis outside the Azara. So again, that's where most Rishonim learn Lamaisa, that's where the Sefer Torah came from. It came from the shul, and again, it got passed along, and it got to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol takes the Sefer Torah, he stands up. The Kohen says the Mishnah, and he reads from the Sefer Torah. And he, what does he read? He reads Achrimais, the Seder Havaida that's in Parashas Achrimais. And he reads V'ach Ba'asar. He reads the Dini Yom Kippur in Ach Ba'asar. V'goyel Sefer Torah. Then he rolls up the Sefer Torah. U'manicha B'cheikai. And he puts it in his chest. V'aymer. And he says, and he announces that Yoyser Mimashe Karasi Lufneichem Kosuv Kan. You should know that there's much more written here than what I actually said over. And why does he say this? Because, as we're about to see, he's going to read now, he's going to say over some more psukim by heart. We don't want people to think that it's not written in the Sefer Torah, these other psukim. So therefore, he makes this declaration that you should know there is more written in here. And we'll see in the Gemara why he doesn't read this next section from the Torah. Why this says the Mishnah Vayitzeh, let's see. U'ba'asur shebechuvash ha'pikudim kairei al-peh. And the parish of Asur, which also talks about Yom Kippur, talks about the Karba Musaf of Yom Kippur. So then he reads kairei al-peh, he reads by heart. So we'll see in the Gemara why he reads this by heart. But again, it's because he's reading this parasha by heart, so that's why he makes this declaration beforehand that you should know the Sefer Torah has more psukim here. It's not that it's not written in here. We'll see in the Gemara why this part does not get written inside, read inside. And then the Kohen Gadol, he makes 8 brachos on the Sefer Torah. In Atta Kenanta and the Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim point out that he also really makes a 9th bracha, because before he reads from the Torah, even though the Mishnah didn't say it, before he reads from the Torah, he makes Asher Bachar Banu, like we always do when we read from the Sefer Torah. That the Mishnah left out, it's not, I guess, a special bracha, so that was left out, but he makes 8 brachos afterwards, ala Torah. One is the classic bracha on the Torah, the bracha of Asher Nasan Lanu. It could be, even though this is a classic bracha now here, but once we're mentioning all the other ones, so we mention this one. So again, so there's 8 brachas afterwards. The first one is Ala Torah, meaning the classic bracha after reading from the Sefer Torah of Asher Nasan Lanu. Then he makes a bracha of Al Havayda. He makes a bracha on the Avayda that he performed. Val Haida, he thanks Hashem. Val Michilas Avoin, a bracha on Kapara. Val HaMikdash for the Beis Val Mikdash Bifnei Atzmai. Val Yisrael Bifnei Atzman. He makes a 5th bracha on the Beis HaMikdash, a 6th bracha for Klal Yisrael. Val Yerushalayim Bifnei Atzman. Or really, most Rishonim seem to not be gairis this. Val Yerushalayim Bifnei Atzma. We'll see. That's going to make it that there's 9 if we have that. So the 7th one instead is Val Kehanim Bifnei Atzman. That there's a bracha for the Kehanim, and then the 8th and final bracha is Va'al Shara Tefillah, is for the rest, a general tefillah for the, it's a general tefillah for the needs of Klal Yisrael, like we'll see in the Gemara. So he makes these 8 brachas. Says the Mishnah that Haraya Kohen Gadol Kishu Kairi Einay Raya Par V'Sayur Hanisrafin. That one who watches and he goes to the Kohen Gadol when he reads from the Torah. You see it from here. It seems like it's not it's not a Chayvus Hatzibur. If you want to, it's you don't have to be part of this. But Haraya Kohen Gadol Kishu Kairi. One who goes and watches the Kohen Gadol when he reads from the Torah. So Einay Raya Par V'Sayur Hanisrafin. So he doesn't get to see the Par and the Sayur when they get burnt outside Yerushalayim. V'haraya par v'sayur ha'nisrafin, and one who goes to watch the par and the sayur, he follows along those that took out the par and the sayur to outside the 3 machanes to burn it. So one who goes to watch that, so in a raya kohen gadol kishu kairei, he doesn't get the chance to watch the kohen gadol when he reads from the Sefer Torah. But now v'lay b'nei she'ena rasha, it's not because it's like you only get one ticket, choose wisely, you can only watch one. Ela shahaisa derech rechayka, it's just that it happens to be that they're far away from each other. The par and the sayur were outside the 3 machanes. It was outside Yerushalayim. U'melech ha'shneyan shavakachas. And they happened at the same time. The melech ha'shneyan, they were shavakachas, means that they took place at the same time. So being that they're far away and they're happening at the same time, so therefore you can't be at both. You can only, by definition, you can't be in 2 places at the same time. The Sfas Emes points out that L'chayra, it shouldn't come out that they're at the same time, because the Kohen Gadol had to wait until the Sayer got to the Midbar. So that's, like we said before, that's waiting a long time. The Par and the Sayer were just taken outside of Yerushalayim to burn them. So someone could go watch it get burnt and then come back probably and still make it in time before the Sayer got to the Midbar to listen to the Kohen Gadol reading from the Sefer Torah. So why couldn't you be at both? The Chayre, it doesn't seem like they were at the same time. So the Sfas Emes says, what you have to say is that from the fact that the Mishnah says that they took place at the same time, it must be that even though the Mishnah only told us about the Kohen Gadol waiting for the Sayer to get to the Midbar, it must be that those who burnt the Par and the Sayer, they also had to wait until the Sayer got to the Midbar. Again, the Mishnah doesn't say it directly, but from the fact that the Mishnah says that they happen at the same time, it must be that those who were in charge of burning the pyre and the sire, they were also waiting. They got outside of Yerushalayim, and then they had also their chairs over there waiting for them, and they sat down, and they also waited for the signal that the sire got to the Midbar, and it's only at that point that they burnt the pyre and the sire. So then it comes out that the pyre and the sire were burning, and the Kohen Gadol was reading from the Sefer Torah, Mamish, at the same time, and that's why the Mishnah says you could only be at one, you weren't able to be in two places at the same time.